Brother Robinson, you come preach to us this morning, please.
Well, somebody say amen. Amen. All right, then. Now, how many of you never heard me preach? Never heard me preach. So we, okay. Wow, it's a lot more than I thought it would be. Well, I guess we better get them in tune with us, huh? So if we say something that's true, we say amen. If we say something true, we say amen. Well, sounds like you guys haven't been hearing a lot of truth. You don't know how to say amen. Well, if we say something that's true, you say amen. All right, if we say something where we need a little help, you say, Lord, help him. Lord, help him. I mean, you're kind of getting confused and you don't know understand what I'm saying. You say what? Lord, help him. You say what? Lord, help him. I say something that's true, you say what? Amen. Say something that you need. I need some help. You say, Lord, help me. If I say something again, you're looking at your preacher is ready to walk out the back door. You say, go ahead on. All right. I remember that. You say what? Go ahead on. You say what? And I can see I've got to retrain you. I'm like Paul. It's not grievous for me to tell it to you over again. Go ahead on is like this. That's right. Go ahead. And the reason why you got to do it like this is because I know some of you don't understand preaching, because some of you will be saying amen while others are saying go ahead on. And I got to try to get a majority of which one I'm supposed to do. So you said amen and most hands are going go ahead on. Then I know to go ahead on. But if I'm telling you something, if I don't understand, I'm going to stay on that point. So we got three things we got to say. First one is what? Amen. Second one is what? Lord help him. The third one is what? Go ahead on. All right, now, if you will do that for a little while, we'll have some fun in here today. I like having fun while I preach. And by the way, I know your preacher likes having fun. I have some of his sayings that I say now over at our church. Like when the church is not with me, I said, man, that went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. Yeah, you understand. I'm telling you, your preacher has a great influence on me. It has nothing to do with preaching, but it gets laughs. Amen. But I love your preacher. I love your preacher. I want to say to the Smith family, thank you so much for letting us stay out at your place. One of the great joys of coming here is being able to go over there to the cabin and to the house and just stay there. Now, my grandkids, boy, they understand where we're going. And so my little grandson, Reggie, said, where are we going? I said, we're going over to, let me kind of put it all together. We're going over to Pastor Johnson's place. So he says, Pastor Uncle Mike Johnson? Yeah, Pastor Uncle Mike. So he has an uncle named Uncle Mike. So this is Pastor Uncle Mike Johnson right here. And so Pastor Uncle Mike Johnson, I said, yeah. He said, we're going to stay in the cabinet. I said, well, yeah, I guess so. And, I love five-year-olds, amen. So we're in the cabinet, and we got a chance to spend some time with Uncle Mike Johnson, amen. But I'm so glad that we're here today. I really, you guys do great. You take care of us. Your preacher said to me yesterday, man, I'm so sorry I didn't spend time with you. But he finally was spending time with Miss Patty, and I was appreciative of that. He said, I'm spending time with my family today. And I said, I know Miss Patty's so appreciative of that now, getting to spend time with her husband. And so thank you, Brother Mike, for thinking about your wife finally. Amen. they love Now, every time I go somewhere, they're together. He takes her shopping. He treats her well. I'm telling you something. You've got a preacher that loves his wife. I know that for a fact. And I know she loves him because she puts up with him. So I know she loves him. So, matter of fact, we go places to eat sometime, and they'll be, you know, we'll be kind of laughing about, Miss Patty, what do you do with that? And she says, she just shakes her head and stuff. My wife does the same thing. Most people look at the preacher's wife to see how they're going to respond. They do. They look at him, and I mean, a joke is told, and they go. And if she kind of goes, and then the whole congregation goes, ha, 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 ha. And if she doesn't do anything, everybody's like, ooh. I was preaching one time about the things we care about, and my wife loves teddy bears, and everybody knows that. And so I brought a cup that had a teddy bear on it. And in the message, my wife didn't even know anything about it. And so I brought this cup, and I'm talking about how we care about different things, and really we care about the wrong stuff most of the time. And so I was talking about how this cup came from my wife's grandmother, and she didn't get to know her grandmother a lot and stuff like that, and that, it was such a precious heirloom, and I mean, it was just a great thing. And then all of a sudden, I dropped the cup. Same way they did. And I wanted the cup to break. I really did. And it didn't break. And I'm like, God, what'd I do with this illustration? So then all of a sudden I said, I couldn't stand this cup anyway. And I went, bam! And it went crack. And everybody like, ooh. And I said, look at all you guys feel about a cup. And then I went up under the pulpit and I pulled out another one. I said, we got this at Walmart this morning. And that's how we are about things. But I want to be honest with you. Most of us don't care about the things that are important to God. I want to preach a message today of why I do what I do. Why I do what I do. And I've got to be honest with you today. I didn't do what I do like I was supposed to do it way back then. Back in 1988, December 18, 1988, was the first time I stood up before a congregation and I preached the word of God. And on that day, some of you heard the old story about my cousin being in the midst of that day from Chicago. I was in Indiana preaching that day, and my cousin from Chicago came down. And when I got done, she said, "Oh, I wish I could be like you." And I said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Everything will be all right. You'll be okay." In fact, my cousin at that time was strung out on cocaine. She had already had six kids. This was back in 1988. If you want to go ahead on and do the math, just take a few years. She's only a month older than I am, actually. So you go back to 1988, take those 21 years off right there, and you can kind of get to her age. Now you say, well, how old are you? None of your stinking business. I'm not as old as your preacher. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But the truth of the matter is that she heard me preach that December 18, 1988. She heard me preach in 1989. And she said the same words to me, "Darren, I wish I could be like you." She had met my family, and we had kids now and things. She was watching them grow up. We only had two, but she had six of them. She was just wishing, hoping that her kids could turn out like our kids were turning out. By the way, as the years gone on, we feel this way. We wish our kids would turn out like everybody thought they were turning out. Amen. But the truth of the matter is this, is I just kept telling her everything will be all right. But 3 years later, after that thing all started, what happened was is I got the word that my cousin Deborah had died. Got the word she had died. And what happened, Pastor Johnson, I think I've told you a story. I asked this question, was she saved? I went to my aunt. I said, was she saved? I don't know. I went to my mom. Was she saved? I asked the brothers. I asked their sister. I asked everybody, was she saved? And it's like God just jumped on my chest and said, I gave you 2 years earlier to find out. She asked you, when you thought she was saying, could I be like you? She was asking you, what must I do to be saved? When she came back the next year and she was saying, I wish I could be like you and your family. And I wish my kids could turn out like your family. What she was saying was this, will somebody just tell me how to have this kind of life and have it more abundantly? She was asking, Darren, tell me how to get saved. 2 years I kept putting it off and putting it off. And then all of a sudden she dies and I'm asking everybody, was she saved? God said, you could have known now for these years, but you didn't even take the time to ask. And now you want to know whether or not she's saved, whether or not she's in heaven, or whether or not she's burning in an eternal hell. God said, you're going to have to deal with that until you leave this world. You have to deal with that until you see for yourself on the other side. And now for all these years, I've carried the burden of wondering if my cousin Deborah is in heaven or she's burning eternally in hell without Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you something. I want to tell you why I do what I do, because of Luke chapter 16. You can write it down. This is our text today. Luke 16, 23. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Why you do, preacher, what you do? Because there's a place called hell. Father, would you help me today? I'm not coming for sure. I'm coming because I do what I do because of the burden that I carry now. Oh, I'm so glad you laid it on my heart. And because you laid on my heart, you took me from so many different things. And yes, I've been able to meet a Pastor Mike Johnson. And boy, I'm so glad. But I wouldn't even be here if you hadn't laid that on my heart. Oh, dear God, please. Please help me to help folks to see this is a real deal, real thing. We've got to do something. We've got to do something about people dying and going to hell. Oh, help me, Jesus. Jesus, if there's somebody here today that's not saved, would you help me understand? This is not a game. We didn't show up here today because
We want to play around. We're here today because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that's the responsibility he left with us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go, preach the gospel to every creature. Go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. That's why we're here today, God. I'm just bearing my heart today. I thank you I was able to just share how great a friend I've gotten, Pastor Johnson. But dear God, I want to thank you. Thank you for just giving me more time to try to do right when I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. Bless me now in Jesus' name. Amen. We was at the cabin today, at the cabinet. And I didn't know if Pastor Johnson was going to have a sing or not. And I woke up this morning, I told my wife, I said, you know the song that we were going to sing? I want to change it to A Prepared Place Built by God's Grace. I got to thinking about all the songs about heaven. A lot of songs. Matter of fact, we started out today talking about, singing about heaven. But you want to know the sad thing is this? We sing a lot of songs about heaven, but we forget that as long as there's going to be heaven, there's also going to be hell. And very few songs are sung about actual hell. Or we think songs about the judgment and about being delivered and about Christ coming in and things like that. But very few times do you hear somebody sing a song about hell and about torments and about fire and flame and pain and all those different things that go along with it. Very rarely do we sing things like that. Or even do we talk about hell in that fashion. Why? Because it's just something that, I mean, we shouldn't be talking about. It's almost like we say about religion. We shouldn't talk about religion. And by the way, more people talk about religion in a little bit, amen. But the truth of the matter is this, is that if we believe there's a real hell, a literal hell, we ought to talk about it and we ought to tell folks about it so people won't have to go to it. Somebody say amen. And all of this time now, I've got to deal with this issue about whether or not Deborah ever knew Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Oh, I can't do anything else about it, but I've determined as much as I can, like Paul, I'm going to be pure from the blood of all men. Somebody say amen. I want to ask, what are you doing about hell? What are you doing so that folks won't have to die and go to hell? Who have you passed by right now that if God was to say they're gone right now, would you say, oh, I wonder today, did they go to heaven or did they go to hell? Well, you could have found out if you just taken the time just to ask the question, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven or would you go to hell? You're too busy for that. Maybe I can help you a little bit. Now, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. My mama's going to be in heaven. My granddaddy that I led to Christ when I was a little boy is going to be in heaven. All of the other folks that I've tried to take and share the gospel with are going to be in heaven. But there was a time once I started preaching where I thought you don't just stand up and preach and make folks feel good. But the truth of the matter is this, is that I don't care whether or not folks feel good anymore. I want to know, are they going to heaven or are they going to hell? Oh, I want to help you with your life. I want to help you with your family. I want to help you make decisions in your life. But I'm telling you, I do what I do because there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. Let me give you some things here if I can. Number one, hell is a real place. I say hell is a real place. Oh, I wish it was a figment of our imagination. I wish it was something that was just made up. I wish it was something that we just like to tell stories about. And then all of a sudden we say, I fooled you, but I'm telling you something. It's not going to be, when we get to the end of it, find out it was just a figment of our imagination. Not going to be something we say, fool you, surprise. Oh, no, the Bible says in Luke 16:23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. In hell. Not purgatory. In hell. Not a reincarnation. In hell. Oh, preacher, I don't like to think about hell. I know we don't like to think about it. That's what our biggest problem is. Jesus came to seek and to save, Luke 19:10, that which was lost. Because that which was lost was headed for hell. Hell is a real place. But not only Brother Smith is a real place, but there's real people in hell Oh, church, there's real people in hell. Because in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Real people in hell. Could it be a neighbor, a co-worker, a relative, like possibly mine? Real people. Think about it, church. Someone you walked by and died now could be in hell. So you just didn't take a time just to ask a little question today. Could be in hell. When Jesus told us to please get the real people, when Jesus told us over 2,000 years ago, this was a literal person, an individual in hell. And he's been there now, a real person for all this time. I don't know how long he was there before Jesus told the story, but I know now for over 2,000 years, he's been there burning and burning and burning in hell. I can't even imagine it. 1988, 1989, then the next year, 1990, cousin dead in hell? Hell's a real place. Hell's got real people. And hell's got real pain. I said real place, real people with real pain. Let me show you how it works. He's walking around in his royal robes, rings on his finger. I mean, the best of duds. Of course, we got Lazarus laying at his gate begging, according to Luke 16. Then all of a sudden, the Bible tells that Lazarus died, and then it says also that the rich man died. I want you to see this pain if I can, if I can help you just a little bit. Lazarus died, then the rich man died. Then it says, and in hell he lived. Listen, the pain was immediate. It wasn't like, again, it was no purgatory. It wasn't no sitting down for a while and say, well, I think I better get ready for hell because it's gonna, I'm going to be there in just a little while. No, he died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Immediate. Listen to me. Please understand this. People die here without Christ, go to hell as soon as they die. They don't, there is no little holding tank. There is no time of preparation. They open up their eyes in hell. And not only is it immediate, but it's intense. In torment. What he was saying? He said, could you get Lazarus to come over here with a drop of water off the tip of his finger? Could you get him to just bring it off the tip of his finger? You know what he was saying? Can I just get one piece of my body to find some relief? Just give it a tip of it, just put it on my tongue. Maybe my tongue could get relief. You know what he was saying? I'm having problems in my hands and in my feet and in my chest there, in my stomach, all over. I'm just feeling pain, torments in this flame. It's intense, church. And we sit here today, not even caring, rather than people die and go to hell. I do what I do because of the pain of hell. Why do you do it, preacher? Listen to me. Not only is it a real place with real people, with real pain, but there's a real permanence to it. You know, I'd get some relief if I knew that sooner or later she'd get to come out. You know, I don't want anybody to die and go to hell for a day. But if it was for one day, maybe I could deal with it. Oh, hey, if it was for a week, maybe, you know, if it was for a year, but I knew sooner or later it'd be coming to an end. Maybe even 10 years or 100 years or even 1,000 years. But there's permanence to this thing. And the only time they're going to get out is when they stand before the great white throne judgment just to be cast into the lake of fire. It's permanent. There's no escape. and there's no end. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. How many of you have ever burned yourself? How many of you have taken ran to that ice box or something and you put that ice on it and it just seems like that pain was just intensifying and you couldn't wait until all of a sudden that ice took over and you said, oh, I mean, you were just praying. You didn't mind. You didn't care if that finger would half freeze off because you just wanted that pain of that heat out of that finger. And when it finally would cool off, you say, oh, not going to happen for folks in hell. Not going to happen. They don't get to get out and say, oh, I'm glad that's over with. Oh, I knew God was good to me. Oh, it's done. I spent my time. No, there's no escape and there's no ending of hell. They used to say that you couldn't escape from that place called Alcatraz. Finally, somebody did. But let me tell you something. Jesus got better security over hell than they did over Alcatraz. And nobody's getting out of hell. No escape. No end. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being a tormented preacher, why do you do what you do? Could I find out something? Not only is it a real place with real people, with real pain and real permanence, but I found in the Bible a real promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But before, here's what it says after, how shall they call upon whom they've not believed in? How shall they believe in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And he talks about how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. Now, I don't know how beautiful these old feet are, but I'm telling you something. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. But God said, I need somebody to help them to understand. They need to call. They can't call unless they believe. I've got to give them the gospel so that maybe they might believe. Why you do what you do, preacher? Because I'm going to take everybody to heaven with me. Then I can. I ain't letting anybody die and go to hell. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. And you can sit all you want to on your blessed assurance, but I'm going to knock doors. I'm going to wear out shoes. I'm going to get calluses on these knuckles trying to tell folks there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Why do we have to come week after week and say, well, please show up for soul winning? You don't believe in hell. Oh, preacher, I believe in hell. God hadn't jumped on your chest about it yet. He got dead square in my chest and said, you could know if you would have asked. Now, I'm not a soul winner. I'm just a soul warner. I can't make anybody get saved, but I can sure tell them how to do it. Preacher said, grab those tracks. How many will you grab today? Man, by the time you leave here, there shouldn't be any back on the track rack because you said, well, whatever anybody left, I'll take because there is a hell. There is a hell. There is a hell. And somebody's teenager, somebody's young boy, somebody's young girl needs to know how to go to heaven so they won't have to go to hell. Can I ask you this question today? If you were to die today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? I don't know, preacher. You can know. You just got to do what the Bible says. I was a little boy. God settled it in my heart. I ain't got glasses on. You are a little boy, aren't you? Okay. I'm serious. I don't know. I hate bringing girls up front and embarrassing them. We shouldn't do that to our girls. Is there another boy? I don't have any glasses on. Can I get another boy somewhere? Another little boy somewhere real quick over here somewhere? Is there another one here? Let me get a young teenager then. Teenager, come on. You don't want to come up here, do you? Can I get somebody to help me? Please, somebody. Come on, come on, come on. There you go. There you go. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to finish the sermon today. Can you stand right there? You go. I have to beg you to come up. You're standing right there. Just stand there. Turn this way. Turn toward the folks. Two young men. What's the difference in them? Just kind of using the illustration. I don't know if it's true or not. What's the difference in them? One is on his way to heaven, and the other is on his way to hell. Why, preacher? Oh, cause listen to me. Listen to me. Just one reason. One is on his way to heaven, the other is on his way to hell. Illustration. I'm not saying you. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not going to make you heaven bound or hell bound. I'm not going to make you heaven bound or hell bound. I'm just illustrating right now. What's the difference? I figured something out in the Bible. And again, I'm not that smart. But Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. It comes short of the glory of God. By the way, I too have sinned. It comes short of the glory of God. So wait, why is one on his way to heaven and the other one on his way to hell? All have sinned. Watch this. For the wages of sin is death. If all have sinned, that means all deserve the wage of sin, which is death, to die and go to hell. Romans 5:8 said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, all have sinned and all deserve the wages of sin, but God died, Christ died for all of us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So why is anybody going to hell today? I tell you why. Because God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, I want you to understand something. Folks that are lost and dying and going to hell, they're just like us, basically. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death for all. God commended his love for all of us. The only difference is somebody came to a point where they said, I don't want to go to hell. And you're telling me that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Yeah. The free gift of God, eternal life, comes because you accept Christ as your personal substitute. He died, was buried, and rose for you. God said, I can take you to heaven. If you're sitting here today, hell is real. Real place with real people, with real pain, with real permanence. But God said, I'll give you a real promise so you can avoid it. Look at him. Who's saved? Who's not? The one who says, Jesus, I'm a sinner and deserve hell. Please have mercy on me. God says, I will. I'm not going to heaven because I'm special. And my cousin didn't have to go down and go to hell because she wasn't. She just didn't get the opportunity, at least from me, to say I do to Jesus. How about you today? Have you really said I do to him, knowing you that sinner, deserving hell? But realize Christ died for you. Listen, don't leave here today. I'm begging you. There's a real plea down in hell. Will somebody go to my five brethren? Go to my five brethren and please tell them about this. Because you know what they're saying in hell? There ain't no fellowship, friendship, and fun down here. There's none of that. My five brethren come here. We're not going to enjoy life together. We're not going to be excited about it. We're not going to have the party that everybody's talking about. I'd rather be for the rest of eternity without my five brothers than to have them experience just telling you today, avoid hell. Avoid hell. And you can only do it through Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I hope you're saved. But everybody in hell is rooting right now. So, oh, preacher, thanks for telling them they don't have to come. We don't want them here. The only one wants you in hell is devil, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. He's the only one. The rest of them are saying, please, tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. I can see them down there cheering, just like Janet at a sports arena. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. You don't hear it because you don't have to go. You've never been forced to look at someone that might be there. So I say it today. Tell them. 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 Pastor Johnson, I do what I do because of hell. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for helping me see the point. I mean it, Pastor Johnson. I wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't find good independent fundamental Baptist. Because I was looking, praying. And Rock of Ages is going to go on because there's a hell. Father, we love you. Thank you for this privilege of being able to preach your message. I don't know why you let me do it. I was such a shame to you in my early years of preaching. But I don't want to be anymore. Would you help me? Help this invitation now. Oh, God. Oh, please speak to Pastor Johnson's heart because you know I have to turn it over to him. Not because he told me, but because I know he knows his people. He knows what needs to be done here right now. Please speak to his heart and help this message to reach the lost and dying, those going to hell. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.